So we're going to study Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through about 15, 16. And I call this lesson, I Walk the Line. Let's open in prayer. Lord, thank you that this Christian experience is a walk. It's a race. It's something that is going somewhere. That we're not just in a dead stall and lethargic and kicking back, although jammy time during the holidays was great. I'm just looking forward to continuing to go forward with you wherever you want to take us, Lord. I pray, too, that sometimes our walks kind of go sideways. And would you be faithful to keep us on the straight and narrow in the places that you want our feet to fall? We just offer this time to you now in Jesus' name. Okay, I walk the line. Did you know that before your child, your baby, your grandchild, your nephew, whatever, has to walk, that they need to develop the same dynamic skills as an Olympic gymnast? Now, that could make you feel really proud about your children or grandchildren. I'm thinking of Katie. Like, she's mastered it. They have to develop balance, core strength, hip stability, leg strength. And finally, they have to have the ability to put all those things together in a perfect sequence, kind of like the floor routines in gymnastics, to be able to walk. It's really an amazing thing to see your kids walk. And Paul, in this text, is referring to Christians as God's dear children. And then he's telling us to walk. Because we're God's children, we need to learn how to walk. And so he says first, when we began this study, that we sit. We're seated in heavenly places. We've already learned. Next, we learn to walk. And in this text, it is used 13 times in chapters 4 and 5. And then eventually in chapter 6, we're going to be told to stand, to put on the whole armor of God and to stand. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore. So some people divide up Ephesians into sit, walk, stand. And we're in the walking part now. And that's really wonderful. The Christian life is a place, it's a life that must go somewhere. It must progress from quiet infancy to active maturity. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so I'm going to say we should learn how to walk the line. Because preferably those who walk should walk straight. You know, when babies kind of do the sideways thing, you're like, come on, come on, balance it back out. I mean, eventually they have to learn to walk straight. This chapter begins with a wonderful phrase in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Therefore we are his children. He is our heavenly father. And if we can steal Johnny's famous lyric, because you're mine, I walk the line. Because he's mine. He's my heavenly father. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. It's a really wise thing. And we, as born again, must learn to walk the straight path, the narrow path. Now, we all know Johnny's testimony. At least a lot of us should. Did he always walk the line? No, I think he would admit to you that walking the line isn't always easy. Cash was raised a Christian in a Baptist / Pentecostal home. And in fact, he never wanted to record secular music. He only wanted to record gospel tunes. But his producer and the record label talked him into writing some secular songs, which became smash hits. A Girl Named Sue, Folsom Prison, and all those songs that we know him for. And that catapulted him to go on the road. And on the road, fame, fortune, females, and maybe a little bit of drugs and alcohol got him way walking offline, didn't it? And so sometimes that happened, and it nearly cost his life. But I was really comforted this week in studying this. Did you know that falling down is part of walking? It is for your kids. How many times do they fall down? For an infant to walk, it takes 1,000 hours of practicing after they've pulled themselves up. You know, ladies, we could look at the women in our small groups a little more sympathetically. If we see them as children who have just pulled themselves up, and they need a lot of practice to be able to walk, and they may fall down, but that doesn't mean they're down for the coat. And when they wobble their way away from assistance, in an average hour, a toddler will take 2,368 steps. I know you young mothers are exhausted because of those steps. But in that same hour with those steps, they will fall 17 times. That made me feel better. It tells me that Christians must learn how to practice and be patient and get picked up a few times. It's a good attitude for us to have as we come into this next semester. It's okay to fall down as a Christian. We just don't stay down. And either do children who are learning to walk. When Johnny Cash returned to Christ in the late 60s and 70s, he said this, "Being a Christian isn't for sissies." I can hear him saying it. "It takes a real man to live for God. A lot more man than to live for the devil. You know, if you really want to live right these days, you got to be tough." It's true, isn't it? If we want to walk with God and keep walking, no sissies. You got to really go for it. Now, when you have to be tough these days, tough can mean that you need to remove obstacles in your path to keep walking, which this text will touch upon. Parent experts say if you want your kids to learn how to walk, you should maybe remove some things, sharp angled things, things that topple easily, trailing electronic cords, throw rugs. You could just, get it out of the way. And so it's the same thing in our lives. There are listed some obstacles that we must remove as Christians. And we're told now that we should walk in love, in light, and wisdom. But Paul is so wise, he balances them and he says you can walk in love or lust. You can walk in light or darkness. You can walk as wise or as fools. So he's letting you know to be able to walk, you may have to remove obstacles. Have you fallen off God's highway? Even as leaders, there are things that can... They will remain nameless. A couple of leaders this week, and she said, "You know, I was a Christian and come into your Bible study, but old habits die hard. And sometimes if you weren't teaching," she said, "I'd go gamble." I was like, wow, that's a pretty strong admission. But sometimes we fall off. Have you gone from walking the line to doing lines? Sometimes that happens. Late in life, the singer told Larry King, Cash said, "I don't give up. It's not out of frustration or desperation that I say I don't give up. I don't give up because I don't give up. I don't believe in it." And some of the ladies coming this semester may have felt like they want to give up, that circumstances have been just too arduous to keep going. But we get to encourage them to walk, to keep on walking. Amen to Johnny Cash. And Ephesians 5 will straighten you out. Let's look at the text. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any entrance in the kingdom and Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is the acceptable to God, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk, walk, walk. First of all, we can walk in love or lust. And walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. I love this because it says that we should be imitators of God as dear children. Do you know how children learn how to draw? They trace. You can put a picture underneath and paper on top and see through and trace. Sometimes we have to trace, to imitate, to copy, to mimic is the idea. And we learn God's love by imitating his love. Monkey see, monkey do. Anything you do in front of your kids, they're more than likely going to do in front of you. And so we find out that God is love. And that we can imitate this love. Now, I love how Nathan used to be as a little boy where he'd put his feet on Skip's feet. And you know how you walk like that? I mean, that's one way to learn how to walk, right? Right on your father's footsteps. And eventually he moved and he is now still following Skip's footsteps, isn't he? Because that's what children do. Young and old. Parenting experts say the best way to teach a child to walk is that you walk in front of them, you know, kind of like this. They're behind you, you know, in front of you. And then let go and go, come on, come to me. And when they make those few steps, make sure you praise them, love them, cuddle them. You're teaching them in love, positive reinforcement. So we find out that God is love, and he wants us to walk in love. And we find out, first of all, God, for love is of God. 1 John 4:7, translate, for love comes from God. In other words, he's the source of love, the fountainhead of love. It is John's way, in that text, of letting us know that God is the original thing. The genuine article, the one that we copy. And then second of all, not only for love is of God, but God is love. Those are companionable. This second statement is more profound than the first because John is saying that God in his essence is love. God, love is of God, but that's because God is love. It's not just one of his activities, it is his very nature. He is the source of it. He is absolute love. I like what Skip said about this. When John wrote that it was a new concept in the ancient world, when he wrote this, when he said these things, it was a new concept. No pagan people had declared their God as love. Most were frightened by the fickle, frivolous, furious nature of God. And again, what other God is a God of love today? So, how do we imitate and walk in love? It gives it in this text. Christ who gave his life for us, we walk in the love. John 15:12 says, by laying down our lives, Jesus said, I command you to love each other the same way that I loved you. And here it is, how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. That's how we show love. Now, I told you my mom has been visiting. And one day we were grocery shopping. And it's amazing how mothers can remember something every other day that needs to be done at the grocery store that you didn't do at the grocery store the day before. And so we're in the line at the grocery store. And I'm looking around and I notice this father and son in front of me. And they have a scant few items in their basket. And I'm watching them, and then I start noticing that the items that they've put in the basket are the items that are dented, or the box had been open and taped shut, or they were marked down. And I'm like, where did they even find these things? And I'm looking at it, and I go, oh my gosh. And the boy is holding four of these really awful-looking candy bar things, but they're not like Milky Way, and they have like 50 cents each on them, and he's holding them and a root beer, and he keeps holding them like this because I think he's waiting to see if they can afford these things. And the Lord says to me, pay for their groceries. I'm like, what? I go, okay. So I turn to the dad and I go, hi, I know this is going to sound really crazy, but I'm a Christian and I'm listening to Jesus, and Jesus just told me I should pay for your groceries. And he knows speaking the English. He looks at me and he turns to his son like, what? And so the son says, my dad doesn't speak English. And I go, oh, can you tell him that I want to pay for his groceries? La, 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 la. And so he tells his dad, and at first, you know, it's like, no, you're not paying for my groceries. This is the best I could muster. I'm sorry if you speak Spanish. I said, por favor, Jesus. Like, por favor, please, and Jesus. I love Jesus. And so I think he thinks like, what, I'm Jesus? Por favor, Jesus? I don't know. And the boy's looking at him like, Dad, can I, you know. And so then he cries. And he says, yes. Do you know there are people everywhere that need that love? For you to walk in love, it doesn't take much. You can find him at the grocery store. Now, I didn't get to share the Lord, but he knows por favor, Jesus. And I'm thinking that's going to have to be good enough. I'm sorry. I know. But we lay down our lives for our friends. So you can walk in love or walk in lust. And to the guys in the camera, I'm skipping that slide. So you can walk in lust, verse 3 and 4. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talk. I don't know, ladies, foolish talk. That I got hung up there. Because a lot of what I say is pretty foolish. I entertain myself. Things come out of my mouth and I'm like, I don't... Janae, she knows this to be very, very true. I just say things that I think are funny. I don't know. No coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. So there are some wicked ways that you could walk. And he kind of breaks them down into three areas. One is sexual impulses. He puts in there fornication and uncleanness. And uncleanness is kind of the idea of any sex outside the context of marriage. And now I have to say between a man and a woman. Because a man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Anything outside of that bond, number one, wicked way. Second way is material possessions, covetousness, and idolatry. Anything that you give more attention to than God is idolatry. It could be your car, could be your hobby, could be your jewelry, could be your hair. I don't know. But material possessions. And three, conversational content are these lustful ways. Filthiness, foolishness, and jesting. That jesting word was really interesting to me. Do you know what that meant? That meant those people that can take any phrase that you didn't mean to be naughty and they make it naughty. Do you know what I'm saying? They call that double entendre, that you can say something and somehow they have a way of turning it back to a sexual joke. And you're like, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. Your head wasn't even thinking that. Do you guys get what I'm saying there? To use your words in that way? Do you know, Dartmouth College reports that children who watch feature films with racy scenes and bad language will engage in sex at a younger age. They will have more sexual partners, and they will participate in more unsafe sex. Now, we're going downhill. You recognize this. It was, I think, in the 70s or 80s that they finally rated films G, PG, PG-13, and they've been slip-sliding on that. It is unbelievable what you can put in a PG, and it's still PG. So, you know, you may look at the ratings on the films, but they get a lot of latitude, a lot of double entendre. Just think Austin Powers. So, not only that, we've been in a pornography apocalypse. Pornography since post-World War II, when it was in that era, it was an underground business with extensive ties to organized crime. That's how pornography was. It is now a flourishing industry that operates openly and includes corporations with substantial assets. In 2002, more than 11,000 new hardcore video DVD titles were released, with an annual sales estimated at $10 billion. It's pretty hard to walk in love and not lust when there's a lot of lust out there. Think of how much TV shows have changed since you were a kid. I mean, they're hopping into hot tubs. I mean, I don't know why anyone would watch The Bachelor. Sorry if you do. But come on. If you're watching these things, you're going to think it's okay. And so will those who watch them with you. As pornography has become more and more acceptable, and it is, you listen to rappers and movie stars and other people, it's just a part of their vernacular. As it's become more acceptable and legal and cultural, the level of brutality and degradation of women has increased. A study by Jensen and 204 says, as one pornography director put it, so he's even telling you how bad it's getting, people just want it harder, harder, and harder. What are you going to do next? I'm sorry for this next phrase. Today's extreme market wants to see girls doing double penetration, gang banging, and gag-inducing oral sex. It's bad. It's bad. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of women who are watching pornography as well. Being in women's ministry as long as I have, there are more and more who come forward, or their husbands are, and asking them to do things that are not within their conscience. And we have the privilege to teach them to walk in love and not lust, and that they know the difference and understand that. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Last important phrase, and such were some of you. There may be some of you. Do you guys remember #deliverance? Do you remember how many women were just so broken and damaged by this world? It's only going to increase. So you can walk in love. There are ways in which you can walk in lust, and we're so discouraged away from it. And then we move on to, you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk in the light. So if it's love or lust, you have a choice between light or darkness. So in darkness, 1 John 1:16 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, who does that sound like? If we say we have fellowship with him, sounds like people coming to church to me. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, there are a lot of people who say things, but then they don't walk the way they say, isn't it? You heard people say, walk the line. The point is that as Christians, you can walk in darkness or light. This is not darkness in the material sphere, as in a dark room, or darkness in the unbeliever's sphere. This is referring to darkness in the Christian sphere, that you could be a Christian and walk in darkness. Saints have sin problems as much as sinners. It's important we remember that. A Roper poll revealed that the behavior of a born-again Christian before and after conversion cannot necessarily make a noticeable difference. Before and after conversion, some statistics. Engaged in illicit sex, before conversion 2%, after conversion 5%. Abused drugs, 5% before conversion, 9% after conversion. Drove while intoxicated, 4% before conversion, 12% after conversion. Yeah. Lady, you are the leaders. You're the ones, you're triage. You're the emergency room. You're the ones that are going to get these ladies raw. And you have a chance. Now, Paul says in this text, it's shameful to even speak of these things. And I feel ashamed that I had to even say some things. I called and asked a couple people, can I say those things? Because it's saying don't have coerced jesting. How do I warn them and not? But we need to. It says, it's shameful to even speak of those things done by them in secret. If you're a Christian walking in the darkness, you're doing it in secret. It reminds me of Adam and Eve. And they partook of the fruit. And then what did they do? Covered themselves and hid. And then when God came into the garden in the cool of the day, he said, Adam, where art thou? I'm sure there are women coming that God is saying, where are you? You know, again, with my mother visiting, I went to do some thrifting. And I went into this store, and I'm not even going to tell you the Lucy moment that happened there. But the long and short of it is, I got to meet the guy that ran the store because I was trying to return something that they didn't want to return because apparently you can't return thrift store items. And so I said, well, can I talk to your manager? Well, can I talk to your owner? I'm like, please, I've only had it 24 hours. It was just stupid. And the guy says, you know what? I'm feeling really good vibes about you. And he goes, I was a Christian. I used to preach in Brazil. I'm a doctor. I treated patients. And then I did something. He didn't say what. And I'm just making my way back. Like Johnny, I just want them to make their way back. No judgment. It's in secret. Philip Brooks wrote, keep clear of concealment. Keep clear of the need of concealment. It is an awful hour when the first necessity of hiding anything comes. The whole life is different thenceforth. When there are questions to be feared and eyes to be avoided and subjects that must not be touched, then the bloom of life is gone. Some people eat in secret. There are a lot of things that can be done in secret. I like shoes. I have a lot of shoes. Franny, I love you. She loves shoes too. When we first got married, I didn't know how the whole financial thing worked. Like, was he ever going to yell at me or make me take something back? So I bought these shoes, and I hid them in the back of the closet. Oh, I'm not the only one? And I thought one day I'll just pull them out and say, yeah, I've had these for a while. The Lord knew. He said, take them out, show them, and tell them what you've done. And I do that to this day. I lay stuff on the bed. Hey, honey, look. That happened today. And so don't hide things. Really, no concealment. The shame of things done by them in secret. You know, when you walk in darkness as a Christian, you will deceive others. First of all, living a lie misrepresents the Lord. People will see you and think that Jesus is a phony. because you are. Second of all, living a lie misdirects the lost. People are looking for light and direction, and if they follow you and you're in a dark place, no bueno. So you can walk in darkness, or says you can walk in light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Light and darkness are opposing forces. You have one or the other. It's light or it's dark. Once the darkness comes, the light's gone. Once the light's come, the darkness leaves. They're opposing forces. And we are to walk in the daylight, walk in light. Walk means to order your behavior. Now, that isn't very exciting, so the Greek word makes it better. Order one's behavior. It's a habit of life. When you walk implies habitual action, not something sporadic. Something that you do and consistently do until it's a habit. It's part of your DNA, part of who you are. Now, people can have some really weird walks. Have you ever noticed that? Some people kind of waddle. Have you ever noticed that? Not kidding. Some people, I was born pigeon-toed. And so sometimes when I'm really tired, if you notice that, my grandpa would say, quack, 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 so that I'd push them back out. Some people are kind of bow-legged. I don't know. That's to me like braggadocious. You know, a little bit bow-legged. Maybe you're on the tiptoe of temptation. Have you ever seen people who kind of really walk on their toes? There are different kind of walks that we can have. But we are to walk in the light habitually. We're not to meander. It's forward motion. That you're going somewhere. And the light refers to spiritual truth. If you're walking in the light, you're walking in spiritual truth that is revealed through consistent behavior, which I would call good works. And that's why Paul talks about fruit. Because in the daylight, fruit grows. Our good works come forward. And it says goodness, righteousness, truth. These things should be in our lives. Good fruit. Goodness means love in action. Love in action. Now, if I'm with my mother and I notice someone in line and I intervene and she gets to watch the whole thing, it's goodness in action. They see that fruit. And they go, oh, tastes good. That's good. Righteousness means rightness of character before God, rightness of action before men. Truth is conformity to the word and will of God. So you need to walk in the light. And I got to tell you, there are many times I could wish that I could walk in candlelight because I look a lot better in candlelight. Why is it in dressing rooms it's fluorescent light, so when you're trying on that bathing suit it's just But you know, God's light is pretty bright. It's very, very bright, and it reveals all the lumps and bumps. Oswald Chambers said, it is not sufficient for a Christian to walk in the light of his conscience. He must walk in a sterner light, the light of the Lord. I like this. Because of some of us think, well, I can go to that movie, so-and-so went to that movie. I can say those words because Mumford and Son says those words, and they're supposed to be Christians, and I can do this, and I can do that, because you're walking to the light of someone else or the light of your own conscience, but you are to walk in the light of the Lord. Oh, woe is me, I'm a sinful man. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Lord, depart from me when you're walking in that light. And then finally, it moves on around verse 7:15. See, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wow. Wow. So we can walk wisely or foolishly. Now, for teachers who used to teach elocution and stuff like that, we used to teach people how to walk like that. Do you remember? You had to be in class because then I have a horrible posture, so you have to put your shoulders down because you have to learn how to walk wisely. You have to learn how to stand straight. Keep your eyes forward. Walk in this way. I saw a hilarious video this week that showed Stephen Colbert learning how to walk like this, and I thought you'd enjoy it.
Okay. Do you have like a book or something I can put in your head or like to
got,
like simulate weight?
I've got...
We need your hat.
Doris Kearns Goodwin's got a couple of books. I had a couple of hers. How about The Bully Pulpit?
Perfect.
I got her one on the Roosevelt's here. That'll work.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
It's a good plug. Okay. So you got this on your head, right? Okay. Are you balancing? I'm going to button as well. Okay. And keep your cape on.
They were learning to walk like royalty,
oh,
like kings.
Yep.
Okay, so now you're
with
just going to want to put one foot in front of the other
heels.
Without crossing them and walk as though you're walking on a tightrope.
See how Stephen Colbert is kind of starting to go sideways?
So
oh, I need a friend. Someone else who can help me walk. You can walk wisely or foolishly. Walk wisely, it said walk circumspectly. It means carefully. To walk wisely, circumspectly, carefully means to look around. The Greek word carries the idea of precision and accuracy, exactness. I like that. Walk in wisdom, Paul says in Colossians 4:5, to those who are outside. Put your shoulders back, ladies. Raise your head. Walk like children of the King, with such poise and exactness. When Paul wrote this, Christianity was a minority religion. They didn't have church buildings. They didn't have women's Bible studies. They didn't have a New Testament, Bible tracts, TV, or social media. The only way they could spread the gospel was the way they walked. And when people saw that, it was an advertisement. And that's how they spread the gospel, by walking. It was their day-to-day living that would shine forth the truth. They were to walk wisely in a brilliance that would reflect the Savior to those who are outside. It's how you walk. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." C.S. Lewis wrote, "The best argument for Christianity is Christians, their joy, certainty, completeness. But the strongest argument against Christians is also Christians, when they're self-righteous, smug, and complacent. When they're narrow and repressive, Christianity dies a thousand deaths." Skip, my favorite little poem that he says, "You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By the things that you do and the words that you say, people hear what you say and they watch what you do. So what is the gospel according to you?" They're watching how you walk. So we are to walk wisely and with timeliness. Because it says here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ladies, we cannot lollygag. The days are evil. I love Charlie Brown. You guys know that. One day, Charlie and Lucy are in the strip. And Charlie says, "Someone has said that we should live each day as though it's our last day." And Lucy goes, "The last day? This is it." She dashes around screaming, "24 hours! I only have 24 hours! Help me!" And Charlie says, "Some philosophies are just not made for everyone." But you don't know when it's your last day. It could be your last day. Make it count. Walk wisely, circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The average lifespan is 30,000 days. 40,000 if you're lucky. At the turn of the century, the life expectancy was only 45 years. In the 21st century, it's about 78. Do you know there's a life expectancy calculator? I found it, so of course I had to do it. Female, not telling you my weight, my height, do I have diabetes, do I exercise, what do I eat, blah, 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 blah. It came out and said I could live to 91. I'm not really sure I want to live to 91. I got to tell you, that's nothing I've ever aspired for. But it said I could live more than the average woman my age. But even still, that's not a lot of time left if I live to 91. How much time do you have left? A life expectancy calculator. Now is the high time to awake out of sleep, Romans 13. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Tick, tick, tick. Walk wisely, timely. Question, do you walk the line? If you belong to God, you will walk in love, in light, and wisdom. And like toddlers and teen idols of Johnny Cash, you may fall down, but you can get back up. Later in Johnny's life, after his love of his life, June, died, people thought he wouldn't make it without June. And that happens. But for some reason, he said, I want to make my last years count, and I want to write as much songs as possible. And some of those last songs, that album, The Man Comes Around, hear the pipers, hear the angels, sing into a big kettle drum, because he knew Christ was coming. The man was going to come around. He was waiting for it. Someone tried to trip him up and ask him about his past days, and he laid down the law. This is how Johnny ended it. I, as a believer that Jesus of Nazareth, a Jew, the Christ of the Greeks, was the anointed one of God, born of the seed of David, upon the faith of Abraham, and accounted to him for a righteousness, am grafted into the true vine, and one of the heirs of God's covenant with Israel. Oh, he ended strong. He may have veered off the path, but he walked the line. And I pray in this next semester you will walk the line as well, that you will walk in love that will be contagious, that you will walk in light that will warm as well as expose, because I've been sitting by a lot of fires, warm and expose, and that you would walk wisely with dignity, head held high, eyes forward, recognizing you are going somewhere. This is all going somewhere. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you show us how to walk. You've taught us how to walk. You are a heavenly Father. And you have cradled us, coddled us, brought us from crawling to walking. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would walk in all these ways as women, that the world would know us by our love, that other Christians in our life will know us by the light. We're just not going to let them get away with things. And also the world will know us by our wisdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.